from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Monday. And thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. That was a great first hour. If any of you missed parts of the show, just remember that you can pick it up on our podcast, and that'll be available about a half hour after the show. And you can subscribe on MyNorthwest.com.
Ursula, if you spend $15,000 to go on a Disney World trip, should you be able to tell the folks, I'm not taking my temperature? What do you think?
I think you should know my answer by now, but we've got to share that story.
We're going to be sharing that later.
You need to hear the audio from that story.
Yes, we're going to be talking. We'll talk about that next at around 11:33, but right, 10:33, or whatever. Right now, Ursula. Yeah, whatever. It's Monday. I'm all out of it.
Like, did you take cold medication? Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. But...
Okay, Ursula.
Are you already thinking it's 11 o'clock? I think you do.
Ursula.
Yeah.
I
know you too well. Yeah, I know.
Yes, you know me so well. I seriously thought it was 11 o'clock, and yes, I did take cold medicine. How do you know? I don't know how you do
it. I've been a mom for many years. Many years.
You know, I cannot believe you just called that out. Like, who? Wait a minute, Ursula. This is a professional news show. You can't tell the people or ask me on the air if I took cold medicine?
Yes. Hopefully, I'll have to keep you in line just a little bit more. That's what it tells me.
Take another one. It'll make agree to disagree really fun.
I just can't believe that I just had to admit that on the show.
You know what? What? The truth is, you probably shouldn't be working, but you are such a dedicated employee. I mean, I can hear you coughing. You're having to turn off the mic. You need to take a day off. It's okay to take a day off. I'm actually going to propose that to our bosses.
No. All right, okay. Let's go.
Well, this is a story that we covered last week, but now there are some new details that are actually quite disturbing. So last week, we told you that King County Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik had fired a deputy who is involved in the shooting death of a Black Diamond man. This was back in 2019. This deputy's name is George Alvarez, and the sheriff said that she was firing him for bad decisions and tactical mistakes that led up to that shooting, although she said that the shooting itself was justified. But as always, there's more to the story. And now we're actually going to rely on excellent reporting from Mike Carter at the Seattle Times. So going back to the day of that shooting in 2019, there's a man named Anthony Chilcott who was spotted in a stolen pickup after a state trooper was not able to catch up to him. Two King County sheriff's deputies. Now, mind you, they were in an unmarked undercover vehicle, picked up the chase. So according to a statement from the sheriff's office after the shooting, this is what happened. The suspect began ramming the detective's vehicle. The deputies exited their vehicle to make contact with this suspect, who was seated in the truck, and an altercation ensued. During the encounter, both detectives shot the suspect and he died at the scene. Okay, again, this is from the sheriff's office after the shooting. And as you know, what is customary is that the police agencies will put out their statements or you'll hear from a spokesman. And that's what you go with, you know, in the media.
We've heard that before.
Yes, exactly. So this is and this story became big news. And in fact, it was covered. A lot of it was covered on our radio station because there was a poodle in this stolen pickup. Remember? I mean, so that was a big thing. And the owner of the poodle was on Dory Monson's show. I mean, it was a really emotional story. Okay, so this is from Mike Carter's story now in the Seattle Times. The detectives in civilian clothes and driving an unmarked SUV with Oklahoma plates rammed Chilcott's stolen Ford F-150 Raptor pickup after a sheriff's supervisor had twice refused to authorize a pursuit. So witnesses say they pushed his truck across an intersection near Cumberland and onto a string of roadside boulders where it was high-centered and disabled. The detectives, unidentifiable to witnesses, and there were witnesses at a bus stop, so they said they couldn't see who these detectives were. They had scraggly beards and ball caps. They used a hammer and their handguns to smash the truck's windows while the unarmed Chilcott vainly shifted gears and spun the truck's tires. Then Deputy George Alvarez reached through the shattered glass to grab at Chilcott with his left arm, apparently trying to shut down the roaring truck, shredding his Patagonia down parka and cutting his knuckles and palm. Then Alvarez placed the barrel of his customized Glock handgun against the side of Chilcott's head and pulled the trigger point blank. Next to him, Deputy Joshua Lirum fired a bullet into Chilcott's head from about a foot away. These are all in quotes. So Chilcott died instantly. Both officers said they feared for their lives. And Alvarez says Chilcott made a play for his sidearm. So the reason we bring this up is you can see the very different narratives as to what happened.
Right.
There is the narrative from the sheriff's office, officially, the statement. Mm-hmm. And then there is what I think there was up to 15 witnesses said and the investigation found that happened that was dramatically different.
I think the reason that we are talking about this story and this topic, and by the way, I read that this weekend and I thought, wow, I didn't know that. And so when you hear the difference and you hear about them being undercovered and identified and how the story kind of played out, it's a far difference from how it played out when the story was first given in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, there's go ahead.
No, go ahead, Ursula.
Well, there's a couple other things that we need to bring up because Alvarez's attorney is planning to appeal his dismissal, and he says his actions the day of the shooting were justified. Right. Now, I just gave you the two descriptions. On background, here are a couple of things. This is actually the second time that Alvarez's supervisors have wanted to fire him from the King County Sheriff's Office. You also should know that this is the fifth shooting that he's been involved with in the sheriff's office, the fourth one to take a life.
And that day, they were told no.
Yeah,
they were
told no. You're right, exactly.
They were
a supervisor
told no.
Said, do not do the chase.
Don't do it. So I want to just say this, because low-hanging fruit is when we talk about these topics, the low-hanging fruit is that the Gian Ursula show is anti-cop. And when you say that to me is laziness. Because as we talk through topics, you know that we are not anti-cop. But over the weekend, I had a good conversation with a cop. And in that conversation, and this is really important. This is really important. Yes, this cop loves their job, loves what they do. Does not like what's going on, does not like the perception that's going on, and is truly looking forward to the day. This part's important. Is truly looking forward to the day that the bad cops are out of here. See, that is the problem. The problem has been for so long, the bad cops have been protected. In any other profession, in what you do, what I do, and everybody else outside of law enforcement, when you do something wrong, you're held accountable. Well, the unfortunate thing in police agencies across the country, there have been so many that have been protected. And this is making the good cops be in bad situations. Mm-hmm. And I can't stress this enough. My respect and admiration for good cops. I can't express that enough for what you guys go out there and put your life on the line and your family's having to worry about you. You're appreciated. Thank you. This is about the bad cops that need to get out of police agencies around the country and here locally. It's that simple.
Absolutely. And I just want to second what you said when people say, well, it's anti-cop. To want better for any department does not mean you're anti-cop. It's meaning, again, fighting for those who are the good officers, the great officers, who now have to deal with the consequences of the few bad ones. And why is it that then you were going to appeal this? This is someone who, this is the second time they were trying to fire him from the King County Sheriff's Office. His judgment and use of force are questionable. And they went against their supervisor's decision. They were in an unmarked SUV with out-of-state license plates. I mean, there were so many things that go wrong. To think that this person could land back in the same department, that would not make it good for the King County Sheriff's Department. Mm-hmm. And then the other part, too, that really is a word of warning to all of us in the media. We need to question these statements coming out of these agencies with a more critical eye. We can't just take it, and I am one of those. I have been shaken, really, to my core when it comes to how often I think back to every story that I've done in 30 years where I didn't even question, you know, took it at their word. Like, they say this is what happened, this is what happened.
Let me go ahead and put myself as guilty. I read the article right away with Manny Ellis. Just so you know, I fell right into that one. I read that and like, oh wow, that's
I
terrible.
Did as well. I mean, and that
okay,
was,
I just
that
want
was
to
the
be clear.
Yeah, that was the beginning of where I realized, wait a minute, how often do we just take it and not really question the narrative?
You know, I know this sounds corny, Ursula, but you know, a lot of times when I hear about anti-cop sentiment, you know who I think about? I think about kids or like sons and daughters of cops. And I'm clinging on to that because I remember how much, and I've said this before, I remember how much pride I used to have when people would see my dad in his uniform. I can't express that to you. It was literally like, look at my dad. He's wearing a Superman outfit.
And we would go places. As you should, though. And that's how we should be looking at it.
That's how I looked at it. And so the reason why I bring that up is I just don't think kids today will get what I got growing up because of what's going on today.
Yeah, Jeff.
This situation, Ursula, you touched on taking statements from the police at face value. And Sheriff Mitzi's reason for firing this detective struck me as rather bizarre. Because the night that this happened, her office put out a statement that said that her detectives rammed into this truck. There were 15 witnesses that saw this. Either they flat out lied because they'd talked to witnesses and taken statements and realized that was not the case, or they did zero investigation and found out later that it was their officers who lied. How about the lie? Who is responsible for that?
Precisely.
I'm absolutely gobsmacked. This is something that is clear. This is not a close call case or an interpretation. Just tell us the facts of the story.
Exactly. And as someone in the media who appreciates, in the past, who has appreciated the most open of those PIOs, the mm-hmm. people who give you a story where you can go with it, and guess what? It fills a newscast. But now I ask myself, and I'm wondering how much, you know, does that play a role in the outcome of these cases? That you don't question enough what is being offered.
So you just said something, Ursula. And over the weekend, I told you guys I watched a show on Netflix. I require you. I'm asking you guys to watch it. It's called White Boy on Netflix. It is a story. It's a real story about a drug dealer at the time. He was 17 years old. He was nicknamed White Boy Rick. And growing up, Ursula, when I was younger, we had heard of White Boy Rick up in Detroit. And in this, Ursula, could be the reason why it reminded me to bring it up, because you talked about your experience over the years. And someone in their media said the same thing, that they just took the information that the police officers and agencies gave them and they reported it. Well, come to find out that the majority of what the media reported was untrue because of so much wide-scale corruption that was going on. This 17-year-old had actually been an FBI informant since the age of 14.
Whoa.
And everybody in Detroit, Coleman Young, even the police captain in Beverly Hills Cop, who was an actor, he was a real police detective in Detroit, and he was corrupt. So anyways, the point that I'm bringing up is like, there's so much possibility of information that can go out there. And you, Ursula, as someone who's been doing news for 30 something years, you get that information and you fill your newscast based on that information being true.
Right. And I'm going to say, and I'm going to still say that the vast majority, I think, of police departments and PIOs will be telling what is true. But you have to remember that, I mean, I think you just have to ask more questions. You have to do follow up. You have to, you know, you can't just go with it, report on it, and then let it go. Because what happens is now you find out, wow, the investigation actually found something very, very different from what was initially reported and what was initially told to us.
The crazy thing about that, wait, one more thing about that show on Netflix I was telling you about.
Yeah.
Is the judge who had finally was the person that was kind of like, I can't believe this case. It was her grandfather that was a judge years ago that basically she kind of was going against her own grandfather years later. Wow. As a judge.
Okay, that's another one. Yeah, you always give me these great tips on what to watch on Netflix. So that's going to be, what's it called again?
It's called White Boy.
Okay.
And all I'm saying is if you go into there and watch it, you'll just see. It is so unbelievable what happened in the city of Detroit.
Okay. Noted. Okay, still ahead, we were going to have a guest. We were going to have Stacey Jo to talk about Gonzaga's amazing OT win over the weekend. But we're going to have to bring her on tomorrow after the Zags win, because we are going to switch gears and we're going to talk about someone who refused to get a temperature check at a theme park. And we'll talk about what happened after that. You cannot miss this audio. You are listening to the G and Ursula Show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula Show. We hope your week is off to a great start. So, who goes to Disney World and then ends up getting arrested? Apparently, if you don't want your temperature taken and then refuse to leave the property, you might get arrested. There is a Louisiana man who is now in the news for getting booted in handcuffs after he refused to get his temp checked. And you've got to listen to the body cam audio, which honestly is mind-boggling.
Listen to me, sir. Sir. They're asking you to leave. We are going to escort you out now, sir. You are officially being trespassed.
Okay, so where are you?
Are you refusing to leave or are you gone? Sir,
$15,000.
Come here. Two, start walking, sir.
You're telling me I spent $15,000?
Put your hands behind your back, sir. You refuse to leave after being told to do so. Get your hands off me.
Okay. First of all, I love how he throws out, I spent $15,000 to get here. I think he got robbed. Wait, $15,000 for a Disney vacation? Like, did he take his entire company? And wasn't he also threatening at some point, like, claiming he was a big Disney shareholder? This is all... You know how fast temperature checks are?
Fast.
Is it really a big deal?
That's the problem, Ursula. To you and I and Chef and to most people, no. But when you have sheriffs around there telling people don't be sheep, when you have media across the country telling you about your rights and you shouldn't have to take a temperature, yeah. And the crazy thing is some of these folks that give this advice, sometimes I wouldn't listen. Some of these same folks, you know, they don't really help you out.
This is Florida, right? This is Florida where, you know.
A temperature.
Yeah.
Like, bruh, you really had to say, I pay $15,000? You couldn't take a temperature? Why? Now, and I don't know. I would assume maybe he was there with his family.
His wife was there. I don't know if the kids were watching this, but this is just such a big to do.
What an example!
Nothing.
What an example! You said. So let me get this straight, Dad. We're not about to do the Disney because you didn't want to take a temperature.
And wow. now the video's going viral, but.
And then now somebody's going to put a GoFundMe together, and they're going to raise some money for you, and there's going to be some help for you, and you're going to get a whole bunch of money because you don't want to take a temperature.
Yes. Okay, listen. So all he needed to do was listen to law enforcement, right?
And all you have to do is get temperature checked. That's it. All you would have to do is get temperature checked.
You refuse to leave after being told to do so by Disney.
Sir, you understand, man.
But listen.
This guy doesn't have no evidence.
Listen.
He's trying to kick me out. You know how
are you going to shut up and listen?
Yes, sir. I'll listen.
Please. Here's the deal. You refuse to leave after being told that you were trespassed. That means that you go to jail.
I paid $15,000. You can't trespass and pay $15,000.
Do you know who I am, Ursula? Ursula, let me ask you this. You've been famous for 30 years, Ursula.
No, I have not.
Hey, yeah, yes, you have.
No. It's okay, stop. Okay, let's just say.
Everybody knows who you are, Ursula.
But no, not necessarily.
You're famous. Have you ever said, do
no.
you know who I am?
Are you kidding me?
Do you know who I am? Do you know how much I paid? I'm going to tell you guys right now, if you ever say that, you lost.
Oh, my God. It's so embarrassing. That is just so embarrassing. And then, like, the security guard is going to care how much you paid for your vacation. Like, really? That's his problem? Just don't be this person.
Do you think that him saying or anyone saying, hey, I paid $15,000. Do you think that there's a possibility, Ursula, that because you pay a certain amount of money, you get favor? Is that possible?
Clearly, he thought he was going to.
He thought he was
going to
get that favor.
I say give the officer a raise because look at that. I mean, despite all the pressure, this person was putting all the pressure on. He's stuck with the rules. He said, no, this is a private property because this was for a hotel, right? I mean, it wasn't for the Disney property itself.
Right.
Yeah, so this was one of the properties on the hotels on the in the resort property.
But now you're probably going to be banned from Disney. Like, is that worth it?
It wouldn't be for me, but I guess for somebody, you know, somebody who thinks that rights over anything. I mean, that this was a violation of his rights. I mean, at this point anymore, it takes 2 seconds. It takes 2 seconds to get your temperature checked.
Can I make 2 points?
Yes.
What do you got?
So, first of all, I would actually like to thank COVID for weeding out the problem people at the door, right? Because this guy, anyone who has the attitude, I paid X, I deserve to do Y, they will be a problem inside the venue, I guarantee you.
So
you screen that problem from the outset when you have the temperature check or the mask check, and that person instigates the issue right there, they're gone. Second point, Ursula, you said that officer deserves a raise, and I absolutely agree, because
yes.
I can tell you, as a parent of a toddler, it is absolutely maddening trying to reason with a 3 or a 4-year-old who will not follow your directions. And this officer follows exactly the same strategy as I do with my son. He starts the whole counting routine.
So, I spent $15,000.
Come here. Two. Start walking, sir.
When I start counting,
my son bursts into tears because he knows it's over.
Hey, hold on real quick. I never know where we're going to go with a topic. Now I know where we're going. Does the counting work? Because I never did the counting with my kids.
The counting
there
only
was
works,
no warning. The counting, there was no warning.
Yeah, the counting, G, only works if there is a consequence at the end.
Every single time.
Exactly. Exactly. So in this case, if the officer counted and then said, okay, just go on in, you know, just how you're bugging me, just go on in. No, then that guy's going to do it again and again and again.
I was trying to think of a time where I did something that where my kids were like, no, Dad. And I just remembered what it was. It was at a restaurant and we were going there for breakfast. And I felt that it was taking too long for someone to come over to our table.
Oh, no.
And the kids were hungry. And I'm like, you know what? We're out of here. And we left. And I remember baby G was like, but Dad, we're hungry. I'm like, no, we're out of here.
Oh, no. You were that dad.
And so I was that dad. But, I mean, I wasn't that dad, like, where I went up to the counter and made a scene. I was that dad and where my kids were hungry. Yeah. And they were like, Dad, we're leaving. We're leaving. You know, like, for kids to leave a restaurant and hungry, that's one thing. But for kids to have to leave Disney because daddy didn't want to take a temperature.
Goodbye, $15,000.
Yeah, about $15,000. All right. Scenarios is coming up next. And wait a minute. Question. When getting married, are you okay with the couple that's getting married to set the standard for what the wedding party wears? Hold that thought. We discuss this next in Scenarios. G and Ursula. It's G and Ursula, y'all. Coming up at 11:06, it's Agree to Disagree. Question, should you care who buys your house? Yeah, we talk about that in Agree to Disagree. But right now, Ursula, this is going to be something. This is a Facebook post. It's kind of different this time. We're taking the scenarios from a Facebook post, so let's get to it. Scenarios brought to you by Farrah.com.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Okay, you guys know the question that I ask you. I'll reset it again. When getting married, are you okay with the couple that's getting married setting the standard for what the wedding party wears? All right, Ursula, I'm going to get right to this scenario. This is something. My trans sister wants to wear a dress to my wedding. I didn't think that was such a good idea because there are lots of people on my side of the family who say she hasn't come out yet who wouldn't be supportive at all. There are also lots of very traditional people in my fiance's family who would have had a huge problem with it. She came out about a month ago, but I don't want my whole wedding to be about my sister coming out to my extended family. Maybe that seems selfish, but I really think a wedding should be about the couple. I'm also concerned about people being openly rude or even aggressive to her. I asked her to wear a suit and pretend to be a guy just for the wedding, and I explained why, and she was very upset. I do understand that it would suck to have to go back in the closet for a day, but I also think she hasn't thought about how much it would suck to have people staring at her and possibly harassing her for being trans for the entire day. I'm trying to figure out how to address this. So 98973 is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you are up to bat first, my friend.
Always the enviable position, right? Give the first answer. My relationship with my sister would be way more important than any concerns about other people being uncomfortable with the way she has chosen to live her true life. So while the bride has expressed concerns, and I'm going to take her at her word that she is concerned that people would, you know, maybe be hurtful to her sister or have comments or whatever.
Yeah.
I think if the sister who recently transitioned feels comfortable with that, then she should just be allowed to dress the way she wants to dress. And it's other people's issue if they are uncomfortable with it. And quite frankly, I feel like, you know what? They're going to be paying more attention to the bride and the groom. There shouldn't be this hyper focus on this fact that her sister is trans. And I think it would be really hurtful to say, could you just wear a suit and just pretend to be someone you're not, because it'll feel like I'm embarrassed about you. I want you to go back into the closet and, you know, not be your true self because it might not be accepted. She's going to be accepted or not during the wedding or after the wedding, right? I mean, she's already made that decision. That's how she wants to live her life. Let her do it.
Okay. Chef?
You absolutely let your sister wear the dress to the wedding, right? She did not come out at your wedding. She will not be coming out at your wedding. She has simply not informed personally, nor have you informed personally, the extended relatives in attendance who are not aware of the fact that she has transitioned. This is your responsibility as her brother. As her brother, to call and notify those people ahead of time, my sister is going to be wearing a dress at the wedding. You may not have heard, but she is trans. If you are going to have an issue with that, I would suggest politely that you keep it to yourself. Let's all realize that she is a member of our family. She came out a month beforehand wants to be there to support you on your day as herself. It is your responsibility as her brother to support her in being herself. And to publicly show support as a family for her. She is a part of your family. Include her as she is.
Well, I think... let me just say this. You guys' answers were great. And I agree with your answers, right? So I'm on your side with that. I believe that he should allow his sister to dress however she wants. And it would be a slap in the face to ask your sister to just, hey, can you do this just for one more day? Okay? So we're on the same page with that. However, let me just go on the other side now, all right? This is something that this person or obviously wants to do. Like, they want to ask their sister to do this for a day. Even though I would not like that they would do that, I'm saying that this scenario would play out to where this is it's their wedding, right? Like, I don't think that we are trying to say what we would do and what this person should do. But I'm saying that if they were to go ahead and go along with it, the question from the very beginning is about what the wedding party wears.
It's not the wedding party, though. She's just going to be a guest. Right?
I thought she was going to be in the wedding
it's
party.
It's unclear in this. If she's just a guest, when do
now
you
if she's
tell
a guest, that's different.
What to wear when it's a guest?
Okay, I thought it was the wedding party, hence the reason why I set it up and asked that question before going into this.
But even if it's the wedding party, I'm not going to tell her to pretend she's still a guy.
You and I wouldn't. Chef wouldn't. No, you're absolutely right, Ursula. Neither would I. If my sons or whatever, I wouldn't either.
5 years ago, though, I probably would have. I would have had a different attitude on it. So keep that in mind. Your attitudes will change. Your sister will not.
Ooh.
True.
True. That was deep, Chef.
It's honest.
And by the way, let me go ahead and jump in. 5 years ago, I'm with you, Chef. And I love how amazing how our minds can change for the better. Coming up next, we do Agree to Disagree. This is Gina's.